Amen. So we are going to talk today from the subject of money and marriage. This has a lot to do with unity, has a lot to do with stewardship, God's way, and it has a lot to do with trust in the relationship. And one thing we know is that money is one of the top causes of conflict in marriage, unfortunately. You know, if a marriage is going to kind of go haywire, you know, at the very top is money and sex.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to talk about money today. Maybe we'll choose a night to have y'all come and talk about the other subject. Amen.
Right.
And so it's a very important subject to talk about. But when couples approach finances with biblical principles, then money becomes a tool for unity and not so much a source of division. And so I think to the degree that we get the word of God on it, but not just get the word of God on it, because the Bible says you can't just be a hearer of the word, but you got to be
a doer
of the word. And so you got to make sure that you're taking what you're being taught and applying it in your life. And if you do it, you're going to get results.
Right. And I think, as you said a moment ago, the Bible has to be the foundation.
Yes.
The Bible has to be your source that you always go to, because a lot of times there are very good counselors in the community that can give you good, you know, guidance. But if it goes or contradicts what the Word of God says, you have to let that be what you really base your decision making on.
Yeah. Well, God's Word gives guidance on how to handle every issue in life, including money. And so, you know, but you know how it is. Sometimes we get grown and we don't want nobody to tell us what to do with our money.
Right.
You know, but the, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. But the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within, everything belongs to God. And so I'm really just a steward, and I have to learn how to handle things rightly.
Absolutely.
So our foundational text is going to be Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, and the ninth verse. And we do have these notes on the Bible app, right? Okay, cool. So if you want to, you can go along. If not, you can just use it later as a reference. I got to throw that Bible app in there.
Yeah,
amen. I'm excited about that Bible app.
Yeah, we all are. Yes.
So, lady's going to read it.
I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 9.
Read! How many come up in old school church where they did that? Yeah, okay, all right.
But I'm not reading like they read. I'm going to read.
And when they be like, read, and they get louder, and you feel like you got, for the Lord shall descend.
And I'm not doing that. I'm going to read, two are better than one.
Read.
Because they have a good return for their labor.
Uh-huh.
If either of them falls down, one can help the other one. No. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up.
Everybody say two are better than one.
Two are better than one.
And that is the bottom line. Right. So this union, this marriage, Mark 10 and 8, I'll just go ahead and get ahead of myself. It says, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. And so I think it's important to understand that the moment we said, I do, you got it, everything became one. It's not my money, it's our money. It's not my car, it's our car. It's not my goals, it's our goals. And I think we have to understand that if we will just do it God's way, we will really get God results.
Absolutely, because if you wanted to keep everything to yourself, you should have stayed single.
That's right.
So no matter if it's your food, you got to share it.
That's it.
No, if it's your bed, you got to share it.
That's right.
So if you wanted to keep everything to yourself, just keep living by yourself and enjoy life that way.
Right.
Whenever you choose to take on a partner that you said you want to be with for the rest of your life, you got to start making the adjustments so that way you guys can live together happily.
Yeah, and the key is adjustments, and you're always making adjustments.
Always.
You got it. I think you make the most when your first 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, and then after that, as long as you're taking this word and applying it, it really, sailing begins to become smooth, but you never stop making adjustments. Things change.
Absolutely.
Our lives change. Yeah. How we approach things change. Yeah. What
People
we like change.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So we've got three simple points that we want to share with you that I think will be a blessing. So everybody say point number one.
Point number one is be united in your finances.
Be united in your finances. So we just said that marriage is a partnership, and it includes financial decisions.
Yep.
Like hidden debt, secret spending, competing goals, all that causes division. That should never...
Hiding money under the mattress.
Yes.
It causes division.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so I think that it is important that we approach things God's way.
Absolutely.
I'll go ahead and say it ahead of time. It doesn't mean that you can't have your own account or I can't have my own account, you know, or those kind of things. The way me and you roll is a little different. Years ago, we just put everything in the same pot.
Right.
And we've just kind of always done that. We've got a few different accounts. We're joint owners on all of them. We have access to all of them.
Right.
We know what's going on. But I don't have a problem if, you know, someone has an account, they have an account, then they have a joint account where they pay the bills and a joint savings account. Like, that's fine.
Right.
But just know if emergency comes up in that other account, then everything should be able to go into what we need. Does that make sense?
You're both going to struggle at the end of the day. If you don't want to put in, your spouse is not the only one that's going to be in lack. You're going to be in lack as well. So I'm going to just go ahead and help.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, if the AC is broke, don't
be
like, well, dang, I'm just going to be hot. I don't care. I'm going to keep my money. No, you got to pay for that thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so wisdom tip is really learn to do things like create a joint budget. Right? Plan together. Everybody say together.
Together.
Yeah. You know, and agree on big financial goals, right? And so Lady and I are extremely blessed, but you know, neither of us is going to go and just, you know, make big purchases without talking to the other about what we're thinking about. We are communicators. We talk all the time, you know, just about everything in life. So why would we not talk about important things like big spending?
Absolutely. Discuss openly the shared responsibilities, control issues, and areas where communication gaps may exist.
Yeah, and I think it's important to talk about that because, you know, we can't get to the point in our relationships where one of us thinks, I control the money, I control all the decisions, I control how much, because now I won't let you spend this, I won't let you spend that, but then when I want to go do something, I do what I want.
Yeah.
No, that's not
how
relationships work.
Absolutely.
And so it's if you've got some dreams and I've got some dreams, we're going to share those dreams with each other.
Right.
And we're going to see how can we accomplish those dreams together.
Absolutely.
And when we're working on a goal for me, you're all in.
Right.
You got it, and we accomplish it. And then when you got a goal, I'm all in, because it's us together making this thing happen. You know, because the whole purpose of getting married is to live happily ever after. Not be frustrated every day.
Right.
Not be like, Lord, why did I do this? You understand?
Right.
You know, and that's why before you get married, the Bible says you have to count up the cost.
Right.
You got to think, okay, what is this life going to look like? I'm not going to be single anymore.
Right.
So now what does that look like to make sure that you don't mess somebody else's life up?
Right. And I think it's important. I think we're jumping ahead. But it's okay.
Jump.
Yeah, but you were talking about the goals, because you all should actually have goals together that you want to achieve together.
Yes.
So let's just say you may be renting right now, but you should, you know, have a goal together. You know, let's buy a home in maybe 5-7 years.
Right.
And you guys together start working towards it.
Yeah, what's the plan? Okay, so how much do we need
down,
right? Where do we want to live? You know,
do
you have to talk about all those kind of things. What kind of house do we want? Do we want a ranch style? You got it? Do we need a good realtor? You understand what I'm saying? You like don't just save the money.
Right.
And then when you save the money, y'all fussing over, well, I wanted a ranch, well, I wanted this. No, go ahead and talk the whole thing through, so that way your confession can be, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We've got this much. We're going to live in this type of neighborhood. We're going to have this kind of house, you know, and every day you're confessing that, and words bring life.
Right.
So there's the spirit part, and there's the natural part, right? There's a spiritual part where I'm in faith, and I'm believing God, and I'm trusting him, but there's a natural part where we are putting, I'm putting some from my check, you're putting some in your check, in an account called house, right? You know, and those kind of things. And so we're doing it together.
And that's what I think is most important, that you realize, again, we're in it together to win.
Yeah.
So there are a few questions that we want to highlight.
Throw out
that could possibly be hindrances to marriage and the finances.
Right.
So who typically makes the final call on major purchases?
Okay. So it is my thought process that neither one or the other should make the final decision by themselves, because agreement is key. Everybody say agreement is key.
Agreement is key.
Rich, it's good to see you. He's back from Columbia. Give him a big hand. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And so agreement is key. And not only is agreement key, but married couples, agreement is the keeper of peace.
Right.
All right. And so as long as we're in agreement, there's peace. If there's no agreement, I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do, you're trying to do what you're trying to do, it's just not going to work anyways.
Right.
And we're going to be frustrated. You know, our prayers are going to be hindered. You got it. And so to answer that, I think that it has to be a decision that is made together. You know, and if it's something that we cannot come into agreement on, we do not need to spend the money until we can come to agreement.
That was good, because that was the next question, is how, you know, what happened? happens when a person disagrees. That means you don't move forward till both parties are together in agreement.
And sometimes it might mean, let's just use a boat, right? And so, why are you laughing about boats?
We've been there, done that.
Oh, yeah. But not no problem.
No.
Oh, yeah, you.
No,
oh.
I'm saying, like, we've had a boat, and I'm like, yeah. Oh. Not that you got it and didn't ask me.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, and so let's just use a boat. Let's say I wanted a boat.
Right.
First of all, I'm going to go to lady and say, hey, babe, this is kind of what I want.
Right.
You know, she already knows what our finances are like. She knows what our savings is. She knows exactly what our
right.
income is. She knows exactly how much we have in our checking account, in our savings account, in our money market account, in our investment account. She knows it all. So she's able to make an informed decision based on me coming to her saying, this is what we want to do, right? So if she said, oh, no, let's not use the boat. Years ago, everybody say years ago. Long before we were pastoring, and God has really blessed us in our lives. We've owned businesses. We've made lots and lots of money. And so years ago, I wanted to buy this little two-seater Mercedes. Remember that? I wanted to buy this little, I was just excited, boy. I like cars, right? I'm not going to keep a car long. I'm going to get another one. That's just me, right? I don't do a whole lot of other things. I don't golf.
Right.
I don't have a boat anymore. You understand what I'm saying? So that's just my thing. And so I was like, but that little two, we were at the Mercedes dealership. I think we got something maybe or something. And I was like, I saw that little two-seater. And what did you tell me?
It was not practical.
She said, babe, I don't think it's practical, right? I was like, but babe, we got margin. We got plenty of money.
We're also a family of four. So right. How are we going to ride together in that car?
We're going to get a babysitter, and me and Lady going to get in the car. We're going to ride down the road. And so, you know, but she said it wasn't practical. But do you know, I didn't get all mad.
Right.
I didn't get all upset. You know, now I didn't want to hear that.
Right.
You know, because I was like, well, babe, you know, because, you know, I'm not trying to be, our business was making millions. So
right.
It wasn't going, like us buying that car was not going to hurt us or affect us. But lady just says, babe, it's not practical. So you know what I did? I said, okay, no problem. And then after a few days, I was like, yeah, I guess it ain't practical. And I just left it alone.
Yeah,
but my thing is sometimes it's
right.
not that I got to wait till you get an agreement.
Right.
Sometimes it might be the Holy Spirit finally showing me it really ain't something we need to do.
Right.
And so you can't always say, well, I'm just going to wait till the Lord get him right or her right on this purchase. It might be that the Lord is going to show you that that's just not
right.
what you need to
because
do.
Because you need somebody with some wisdom to speak in the middle of when you're trying to make an out, not that it was going to be an impulsive purchase, but it was well thought out.
Yeah, I mean, it, there was some impulse to
yeah.
it. And, you know, and the good thing is we had the money to back impulse up. But
right.
you were like, nah, let's not do it. And you know, thank God for being, a man that does not mind listening to his wife, number one.
Right.
And then number two, listening to the voice of God. And I was like, yeah, she's right. And then I moved on down the road.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that's the next question. Like, are you both aware, because you just said about how I know what we have.
Right.
All accounts. Are you both aware of the budget? Are you both aware of how much your bills are on your bank balances? Do
and
you have the passwords to those accounts?
That's good. That's so vitally important because it's amazing to me how one spouse will not know what's going on with the bills.
Mm-hmm.
I would not do this, but I should be able to walk up to a husband or a spouse and be like, you know, how much do you guys owe or what's going on? You go, oh, I don't know. Like,
right.
no, you need to know.
Right.
Well, Pastor, she handles it. That's good.
Right.
And she can handle it, but you need to be in faith with her
right.
for total and complete debt freedom.
Absolutely.
How can I be in agreement for debt freedom? I don't know how many bills we got.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
and so not that you have to know everything to the T,
right.
but I know what our mortgage is.
Right.
We don't have a lot of bills. We got a mortgage payment and one car payment, right? And so, but we know how much they are,
absolutely.
Right? And so I think that it's important that we know that and that you know what our budget is. And, you know, everything is electronic now. And so so we've got our own little bill sheets and lady can look at the bills. We don't have many, like I said, but she can look when we get paid and she can see if it's not highlighted, it hasn't been paid yet. If it's highlighted, that means it's already been paid. And so even though I take care of that part, at any time she could step in and take care of the part because the system is already there. So it works for both of us.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't ever believe anything's going to happen to me. You understand what
right.
I'm saying? I believe I'm always going to be here
right.
and those kind of things. You got it? But I do have, you know, but there's plenty of money in the bank. If something happens to me, sister girl's going to be all right.
Right.
I got, you know, millions of dollars in life insurance. You got it?
And he pays that one every month. I make sure. No, I'm playing.
Where's Keith's thing? And so it's auto drafted. It's auto drafted. You know, as the senior pastor of this church, I had them put a key man policy on me that if something happened to me, you know, the church would get, you know, a chunk of money to just pay off any debt. That way, anybody want to act funny and leave, it's okay, because we totally and complete debt free. Lady and the team going to keep running with what God has told us to do. Like, right. Nothing is going right. to stop us.
Absolutely.
But what am I saying? We plan those things.
Right.
You got it. We plan those things. Lady and I live way below our means. I was telling my son the other day, Jay. He got his first apartment. We're so excited for him. And so he's been on the fast track. He picked up E5 when he was in his third year of the Navy. And so in California, BAH is a lot of money. It's like $3,000 a month in California. But y'all, the apartments are like $3,000 a month. And so what Jay decided to do was, I'm going to sleep on my friend's couch, and he's going to charge me $500 a month. And so Jay started banking, and he's really saving. I'm so proud of that boy. He's really saving his money, because I'm thinking, because I'm, you know, I'm a joint owner, because it's an account they've had. The kids have had accounts all their lives. And so I'm noticing, okay, when he gets paid, the first thing he does is he gives to God. The second thing he does is he transfers his savings. So I'm thinking, okay, is this going to happen on month two and on month three? And I'm like, man, that is really, really good, you know. But it's been about 6-7 months. He's like, Dad, I'm tired of sleeping on somebody else's couch. I said, I know that's right. But he banked up so much money that now he found an apartment that was like $600 or $700 lower than the BAH that he's having. And I talked to him about margin. I said, son, when me and your mom, you know, this is long before we were in pastoring, but when we were doing really good in business, are y'all getting anything out of this? We went and we went for a loan for a house, and the guy told me like we could get like a $2 million mortgage. I was like, we don't want that. So we, you know what we did? We bought a house for $300,000. Why? Because always learn to live below your means. Don't try to prove anybody anything to anybody, because they are not paying your bills.
Right.
Does that make sense? That's why you learn to hang around people who just love you for who you are. Now, don't get me wrong. You get something new, I'm going to celebrate with you. You got it? So I'm all about God blessing you. But what I'm saying is, you don't need that for Lady and I's validation. You are who you are, not because of a house you live in, car you drive, or clothes you have. You are who you are because Jesus paid an incredible price for you. And that's what makes you who you are. Right. And so don't get me wrong. We have goals. And, you know, matter of fact, I was asleep. I went to bed early last night. I was tired. And Ellen had texted us that Ellen just got her a new car. I said, well, praise the Lord. And I haven't even had time to talk to her about it. You know, and we rejoice with those who rejoice.
Right.
Because if God is blessing your neighbor.
He's in the neighborhood,
right? Yep. Ben took me to Hyde County yesterday. He pulled up in a shiny, brand new Escalade. I said, "Well, praise the Lord, we're driving big." You understand? But I'm not downplaying when God blesses people. When God blesses people, I'm excited. But we're never going to try to make you go do something so you can be part of the in crowd. There is no in crowd. At WLCC, there's no big eyes. There's no little U's. We're all on the same team, moving forward in life, believing for God's best in our lives. Does that make sense?
So to wrap that one up, unity comes through communication.
That's it.
Okay?
That's
unity
great.
Unity comes through communication. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed?
That's good.
So walking in agreement is important when it comes to having financial freedom in your marriage.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the clock we got, the countdown.
Right.
Oh, we got plenty of time. I was looking at the red. Oh, we in good shape, baby.
We are? Okay.
Yeah, we in good shape.
Okay. Point number two. It's practice biblical stewardship together.
Yes.
Okay, practice biblical stewardship together. Being in agreement and alignment with how you handle finances in your marriage is very important.
Yeah.
Alignment isn't about perfection, but it's about direction.
And that's got to be the key to understanding. Alignment is, we're not always going to do everything perfect. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to make some mistakes.
Right.
I'm not going to ask you to, but if I was to say by a show of hands, anybody ever made mistakes with money, we would all raise our hands with both hands, because we've all at some, but that's part of the growing process, right? And so that's okay. The whole thing about revelation is when I know better, I do better. So don't beat yourself up, because we've all done something where, you know, you went, you know, and you. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, man, you just go to the car lot, and, you know, those guys, they tell you you look good in that brand new car, and you think, I do look good in this car, right? They don't tell you how much the car is.
Right.
They don't tell you what the interest rate is. They just want you to walk in and sign. But you know, and so some of us have made mistakes
right.
when it comes to that. Don't beat yourself up over that. Just say, Father, I'm sorry. Help me out of this. And God will help you out of it.
Right.
And when you get out of it, then just start making better decisions. See, you are where you are because of the choices that you made in the past.
Right.
So if you don't like where you are, don't beat yourself up. Just start making better choices.
Right.
To the degree I make better choices, it's going or better decisions, it's going to put me in a better place.
Right.
And so it's when I know better, I do better.
Absolutely. Because when you were talking about the cars, I was thinking about when I was in college, you know, when you first go to school, all you get is a whole bunch of credit apps, and you're already pre-approved. $1,000 here, $1,000, you go to any store, you got all, I think I had about 12 cars, didn't have that one job, but I was approved for all them credit cards. But thank the Lord, somebody came through and rescued me in Jesus' name. But anyways, but that's what happened.
Well, your daddy was happy the day I married you, girl.
My daddy was very happy. He was like, you can't give her back. Like, I was just some horrible person. But it's like.
Trust me, I didn't want to give her back. I told him, you ain't going to have no problems with that, brother.
Right, but we make mistakes sometimes.
Yeah.
Like you just said a moment ago, when you know better, you do better. So don't keep replaying.
And you didn't have 12, baby.
That's I know. It was a little.
Yeah, you didn't have that many. But the thing about it is.
About six.
But when we were dating. Here's a key. When we were dating, she told me that.
Yeah, I did.
Like, she told me, she's like, hey, babe, I got some credit cards. And you know what? My love for her is like, I don't care. Like,
right.
We're just, okay, I'm glad you told
work
me.
Work together to get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and so we're going to work together, and we're going to pay him off, you know, and that kind of thing. So when we, so then, and so as soon as we got married, we went away on a little, it wasn't really a honeymoon. We went together.
It was nice, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No. It wasn't what we would have chosen.
Where did we go to, babe?
We went to a bed and breakfast.
A bed and breakfast. I didn't know what a bed and breakfast was,
right.
Y'all. I didn't know we was going to be in a room, and somebody was going to be in a room next to me.
Right.
And so I ain't like that.
That
ain't gonna work out.
Let's just say we didn't really make a lot of decisions.
So what did we? Yeah. People were setting stuff up for us when we were getting married.
So we got to do a do-over.
You want to do a do-over?
No, but yeah, no, I'm good.
And so what? We've been on a whole bunch of nice
vacations. Right, we don't have a lot of do-overs.
And so what we did, y'all, was we get like a note that says breakfast in the morning, family breakfast. We don't know these folks.
We don't know you. Yeah. Like.
Everybody's supposed to come down for breakfast at 10 a.m. So we got up about 6:45.
And we walked
We
down.
Packed our stuff, and we're walking down the steps.
They're creaking,
you know. And we got in our car. We got up out of there. I think we had two more days at that bed and breakfast. We left that bed and breakfast.
Yeah, you can have it.
And we went back home.
Yeah, we did.
Because I had bought a brand new house when I got engaged, you know, and thank God for VA benefits. I think I put $99 down on a townhome, you know. And so I had already had a nice spot. And so we came home and we went and bought a lawnmower. We were planting flowers and that kind of thing. So we went to go see your parents.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are y'all doing here? And so we went and saw them, and I remember your car loan was in your dad's name.
Well, he had co-signed.
He co-signed, so I called USAA, and then you told him, Daddy, Mac got the car switched. Boy, he said, you the best son-in-law ever. But we worked together as a team.
Right.
Like, it didn't matter, you know, what who had what.
Right.
You know, it was like everything's gonna go in one pot, and we're gonna work together. And that's exactly what we did.
Right.
And here's what we knew years ago. Proper stewardship leads to abundance.
Yes.
So we knew together when we both got paid, we're going to give to the Lord first.
Yes.
The tithe, it's the Bible is clear. Old Testament, New Testament. You got it under the law, before the law, after the law, right? And so we're going to give God the tenth. You got it? And so we're going to give to God. Then we're going to pay our creditors. we're going to save some money, and then we're going to enjoy the rest.
Right.
Because we knew if we would do this thing, maybe not overnight,
right,
but over time, we would see God bless us in amazing ways.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened.
Right. And I think that's what a lot of families have to realize, that you have to do is remain consistent.
Yes.
Because a lot of
great
times,
word.
A lot of times you may have these waves in your finances. Sometimes,
yep. Yep.
If, like if you're trying to save for the house, that means you can't spend everything because you're trying to save for the house. But you got to still remain consistent regardless of what's going on.
And it doesn't mean that you have that one payday where you're like, man, we go on the roof, Chris.
Right,
you understand
right.
it? You know, and that, but if y'all were in agreement on it,
absolutely,
then that's okay.
That's
as long
okay.
as you're not fussing later, we could have put that $270, you know, because
right.
what you don't want to do is be fussing over money.
Absolutely.
Does that make
that's
sense?
Where I think it's important that we realize that our faith has to also meet with our budget.
That's good.
We got to make sure that our, okay, this
that's
is
good.
What we're believing for, so this is what we're going to do right now. It may be, like you said, some moments where it may be short-term uncomfort,
yep.
but at the same time, we know the end goal is this, and so
yep.
that's what we're working to. So you got to always remain in faith and stay consistent when it comes to your finances.
You know, and the reason that we were always so excited, you know, of course, we grew up where our parents taught us to tithe, and you need to teach your children to tithe.
Absolutely.
Like, I tithe when I was 6 years old, getting $20 for my birthday, $20 total, you know.
Oh.
And so my dad was like, $2 belongs to the Lord plus an offering, right? But I'm so glad he instilled that to me, because let me tell you what, God really doesn't want our money. He wants our heart. Right? And so what happened was my father taught me to do that, and what it taught me to do was to put God first at a young age.
Right.
And so I'm always putting God first. So teach your children and your grandchildren about tithing and about giving, because if you put God at the top of the list, he commits to take care of the rest of the list in your life. You know, now tithing is just the first part in stewardship. I still have to, but I can't give the tithe to the Lord and then waste everything and expect
right.
it's going to work.
Right.
But God will breathe on that 90.
Right.
He will bless us. He'll cause favor to show up. He'll cause all kind of things to happen in our lives that you know would have not have happened on our own.
Absolutely.
So you got to put God at the top of the list.
This point was here. It says couples are to think spiritually about money.
Right.
Not just as a resource to control, but as a responsibility to manage on God's behalf.
Yeah.
So, you know, God is our source, and it is up to us to make sure that we, like you said, steward it the right way and not just waste it. Because when couples treat their finances as resources that come from God, they're more likely to spend with purpose, in agreement, and with generosity.
Well, I quoted it earlier, but Psalms 24:1. It's clear, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, they that dwell within. Everything belongs to God, including our money.
Right.
You got it. That's the bottom line. And so we have to understand that tithing, giving, saving, all of that should reflect kingdom values.
Good.
So even after I give to the Lord, watch this, to take the 90 and waste it doesn't reflect the kingdom value.
Right.
Watch this, to save so much that I don't want to help my neighbor
right.
doesn't reflect
right.
kingdom values.
Right.
Does that make sense? And so we've always said it where we're going to give to God, you know, we're going to save some money, but we've always had enough margin where we can be a blessing to
right.
somebody else. We can do something. Lady and I get the most joy when we're being a blessing to somebody else. You know, if we go and, you know, we went to Colorado and we were doing a little bit of shopping, and lady kept putting, you need to buy this top and you need to buy that top. And I'm like, I don't need to buy all this stuff, you know. And she's like, no, babe, you're always on stage and you need to, she, you know, she want to make sure her man look good. You understand? And that kind of thing. Thank you. And so, but the whole thing is I've always been, yeah, but if I don't buy that, I can cash out that person. She's like, yeah, but even in that, you have to have a balance.
Right.
Does that make sense? So everything we do should reflect kingdom value.
And that's what I was going to go talk about, is the generosity. Because you can't be so always about my four and no more.
Yes.
You don't ever give to other people. Because there is a blessing when you begin to extend out of your hands as well.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing that, I mean, every week there's countless, you check our account or our Cash App, we're giving to somebody. And that's a part of our core belief.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm here to be a blessing to somebody else. It could be the Dunkin' Donuts line, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
I just want to make sure that I have enough that I can give to somebody else. So you need to check your account. Okay, who am I helping?
And
at least once a month.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy.
No,
it's you know, it, like you said. So you can look, if you're on a budget, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Ask the person at Dunkin' Donuts, how much is the car behind me?
Right.
And if they tell you it's $3.79, then pay it.
Right.
They say if it's $33.79, so
oh,
okay, praise the Lord.
Mine.
You understand that?
Exactly. Right. This one ain't mine.
Yeah. You know. And that's okay
because
you know you have a budget.
Absolutely.
One day I'll get to $33.79.
Exactly, but not today.
But not today.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong
with
that.
Nothing wrong with
because,
that.
Because, you know, everybody say stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
And I'm a firm believer in staying in my lane. That's just kind of how that is.
Yeah, but the goal.
And don't feel bad about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. But just again, make sure you're always extending your hand in some way to somebody else.
So let's review. In the back, let's put up point number one. Class, on the count of three, what's point number one?
Be united in your finances.
All right, let's put up point number two. What's point number two?
Practical biblical stewardship together.
All right, and then let's put up point number three, trust God as your provider. So you've got to learn how to trust God as your provider. Money is not a source, it's just a resource. God is our source.
Yeah.
Now, we need money, of course, to pay the rent, pay the bill. But you've got to understand, if what you have on hand gets a little bit lower than what you want it to be, you know, don't put your trust in what you have on hand. Put your trust in God.
Right.
He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. But that is why I have to be a giver if I expect the word to work in my life.
Right.
I can't expect the promised blessing if I don't do what the word teaches.
Right.
The word says give, and then what's going to happen? It's going to be given unto me. So, because giving is not what? Yeah, it's not a game. What we're teaching you are practical, biblical principles. You got it of stewardship that are in the Word of God. That if you apply them, you'll see incredible results in your life. And so, money is not a source; it's just a resource. And you have to use money as a tool. You got it. You have to use money as a tool to help you in life. And so, Philippians 4:19. If I'm going to trust God as my provider, I've got to understand Paul says to the church at Philippi, and my God will meet, KJV says, supply, not some, but all your needs according to his riches of his, or the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And so financial peace in marriage starts with spiritual trust. That's grammable, bookable, tweetable, and TikTokable. All right. But financial peace in marriage starts with spiritual trust that together we're going to trust God.
Yeah.
That together we're going to do it God's way. That we're not going to fight with one another. That we're not going to be frustrated. In the early days, some of you have heard our testimony. In the early days, when it was really, really, really tough for us, we never fought over money. We never did. You got it? We just made up our mind. It is what it is. We have what we have. And so what happened was, back in those days, you know, like we're old, but back in those days, they didn't have, like, they didn't have all the electronic deposits, because you had a paper check.
I did.
And she'd bring the paper check home, and I think back in those days, we weren't with Navy Fed, we were with Marine Fed. And so I would take it, and I'd go, and I put it, I'd deposit it, and then we would pay all the bills, and we said, okay, this is what we have left. And so lady would go shopping, all right, and then we knew we had gas money, right? So, you know, just the things that we needed, and then, I can't remember if you got paid every Friday or not, but yeah. So you know, I think we knew that lady was gonna get paid every Friday, you know, and at Ecom, I can't remember if I was getting paid every 2 weeks, but we knew, okay, until Friday, and it's Monday, you know, we got, you know, $82.93, right? But look, we've given God what belongs to him. You got it. We have paid our creditors, so we've kept our word. Our integrity's intact. We've got grocery and we've got gas money. So
we had baked chicken and rice almost every night.
Oh, listen.
Baked chicken legs. I just see.
Yep. Because lady would buy them big packs, some family packs. It was just two of us.
Yeah.
But it was a value pack.
Yeah, right.
And rice was cheap.
Right.
And so, you
and
know.
And green beans.
Yep. Yep. And that's what we did. But there
that's
was.
Why you don't eat. He doesn't eat chicken today because he said we.
We done ate so much chicken in our lives.
I remember, I did cook a lot of chicken, but anyways, yeah. But yeah.
And so, but what we would do is, you know, for date night, there was a church's chicken right up the street. And so we would go to Church's Chicken, and I don't know if they have it now, but back in the day, they had a $1.99 special. It was a two-piece. You got it? It was a honey biscuit. When I tell you that honey biscuit was the will of God, I mean, it was something about that honey biscuit, boy.
Yeah.
And
fried chicken on Fridays, but baked chicken Monday through Thursday.
Right. And y'all, it wasn't a physical Church's Chicken.
No.
It was inside of a gas station.
Yeah.
And it had, like, two little booths.
Yep.
And we would go in, we would sit there, and, you know, we'd had the best time. We'd be happy about that greasy chicken and them honey biscuits.
Yeah.
What am I saying? You don't need $1 million to have a great life.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense? Now, I pray everybody gets a million.
Right.
But you don't need $1 million to have a great life. We took what we had.
Right.
We were grateful for what we had.
Right.
And we worked the process. And I believe that's why God
Absolutely.
Opened amazing doors for business and all kind of things, because we were grateful for what we
yep.
are. We were good stewardship, good stewards. And anytime you practice good stewardship, it always leads to
that's
abundance.
Good. Because, I mean, honestly, thinking about it, fussing was not going to produce money.
No.
Getting mad at you for where we were, that was not going to produce any money.
Right.
But us, again, being grateful for what we did have and maximizing it, that's what caused us to stay in faith, to keep confessing the word, to see change come about in our lives. So your attitude towards where you are is very important. So you can either, you know, maximize this moment to get out of it, or you just keep complaining about it and stay there longer. So it's just a matter of your perspective about where you are.
So no matter what happens, all right, don't let fear or a scarcity mindset drive your decisions.
Oh, that's good. Yep.
Learn to trust God. That God, I'm going to put you at the top of the list, and so the tithe belongs to you. I'm going to give you some kind of offering. You got it. We're going to take care of this. But watch this. Even if we don't have a lot now, it doesn't mean we can't dream for bigger
right.
days.
Right.
It doesn't mean that I still can't put a picture of the car that I eventually want. You got it. That GMC Denali, you understand,
right.
on my screensaver, on my. Just because you can't have it right now doesn't mean you can't dream for
right.
it. But the prayer is that not overnight, but over time, God is going to continue to bless me and to increase me as I put him first and make good decisions so I can get to the point where he will give me the desires of my heart.
That's very good, because sometimes what happens is we let fear of not having or fear of being broke before cause us to, you know, make us not want to move forward, because, you know, I've been where I didn't have. I don't want to get back to that place again.
Right.
But we got to, again, always trust that the God that helped us get out of that place is a God that's always going to keep us free from not having again, as long as we stay in covenant with him and do it his way.
Amen. Did y'all get blessed by that today?
Yes.
So money can either drive a wedge between you or it can bring you closer.
Yeah.
Let it bring you closer.
Yeah.
Do it God's way. If you do it God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time around your word and these your precious people. And Father, we have given them good, solid, biblical principles for life. And I just thank you that as they apply these principles in their life, as they work together as a team, they become an unstoppable force. That they won't allow money to drive a wedge between them. But Father, I thank you that they will take your word. They will keep Jesus at the center. They will do it your way so they can get your results in their lives. So I just declare that their best days are not behind them, but their best days are ahead of them. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you bless the Lord all over the building?